And if they don't have flautas, I get fajitas.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is back working on a Saturday. The Sage is patrolling at all times, never stops. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKuyper of JoeBucksFan is here. And, of course, the man I referenced as the Sage, he is Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. As Sage, you know, before we talk about Bill Curry Ford that presents all your work and Florida's Elite Restoration, which every homeowner, I just sent a homeowner there, has got a mold issue. Every homeowner should know about Florida's Elite Restoration. Put them in your disaster plan. But do you have a favorite nickname of all the ones you have, of all the ones we roll out to start the show?
I'm going to take us back on the time machine, Steve. Fifth grade. Could you imagine me in fifth grade? First of all, that's a heck of a thought. Me in fifth grade. And I don't know, I kind of walked and I kind of waddled when I walked back then.
The Penguin, yeah.
And
the Penguin.
They started calling me the Penguin. Now,
Burgess Meredith?
Yeah, Burgess Meredith. There were a couple of girls that I was interested in, and once they started calling me the Penguin, I knew I had no shot. And so that's a long time ago, Steve. I was 5, and now I'm 30. You know, that's
a long time.
The Sage was a good one, Steve.
The Sage
was a good one. That was a good
one. All right. The Sage has stuck very well.
By the way, when I was walking today, Lee,
across the field?
No, just towards the media section. All of a sudden, some guy bellows out in a big, loud voice, "The Sage is in the house! The Sage!" I don't know who the hell this guy is. And you were in the bleachers at your usual spot, mm-hmm. right? Steve, who are these people? But I got to appreciate that. It's nice to be recognized.
I got to say, I don't know what it was in the air on Friday, at Friday's practice, but I got called out 3 times
at
Friday's practice after not being called out at all.
Nobody knows you, Isbitz.
In all the previous practices. So something was in the air on Friday, and good to catch up with a couple of fans. Haven't seen in a while, and one.
By the way, speaking about Friday, Steven, you guys might be able to confirm this. Somebody told me that Steve Smith Jr.
Yeah, he was here.
Yeah, and that he was talking to Bowles, and on the air, he said to Bowles, "Now, wait a minute, Todd, how are you going to deal with this? This is the second time you've changed offensive coordinators," and Bowles is sitting right next to him and says, "It's the third time." Smith's not doing his homework, Steve. Not doing his homework. Come on, Smitty. You want to get in the Hall of Fame? Do your homework as an announcer. Come
He's,
on.
He's, days away from being unemployed?
Steve Smith?
Yeah. I can't imagine ESPN hiring.
Well, when ESPN has their layoffs for NFL Network, I agree with Lee. I think he's probably one of the first to go. But he'll catch on somewhere. He's fun. His podcast is good. He does it with James Palmer, who they NFL Network cut a while ago.
And, of course, he's wondering why he doesn't have a gold jacket in Canton. And, you know, you take a seat because there's other guys ahead of you.
I read this Outkick article about ESPN's purchase of NFL Network. And evidently there's a writer with ESPN that wrote how he was mortified about the Sidney Sweeney scandal.
Mortified? That's a hell of a word.
Mortified.
Mortified.
So if anybody knows what the Sidney Sweeney scandal is, go look it up. Anyway, this article said, since ESPN is mortified with hot bonds, Colleen Wolf, Taylor Biscotti, and Jane Slater are in dire straits.
Oh, boy. Who's this guy that started ranking the NFL coaching staffs and,
Solak, okay.
and slapped the Bucks around?
Well, okay, well, we're jumping the gun here, but okay. Ben Solak works for ESPN. I think he's a really, really insightful analyst. He does a lot of smart stuff, does a lot of podcasts with Mina Kimes.
How many freaking writers do they have over there, Steve? 100?
Not enough after you read this. And anyway, Solak I find to be insightful, thoughtful, generally an intelligent observer and analyst. But I don't know, he must have lost his shirt at a New Jersey sports book betting on the Bucks to cover. He apparently really has it in for Bowles. And because of Bowles, he said the Bucks have the 26th coaching
staff.
Was
it Bowles or the assistants also?
And he said because of Bowles, and he ragged on Bowles, how he's too conservative, blah, 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 blah. He's 26. Now, as anyone knows, I have some issues with the Bulls. I do think he's a good coach. I do agree with the Glazers keeping him on board. But his, you know, sometimes conservative ways cost them games, and his trivializing of an edge rusher, which he does on a consistent basis, I just want to jump out of a freaking ledger. Drives me bananas. Having said that, There's no way in hell I can give a guy with a winning record with the Bucks as a coach who's gone to the playoffs every year he's been a coach as a 26 staff. That's bullshit. I'm sorry. And unfortunately, that discredits so much what Solak has to write. There's no way in hell you can say a coaching staff that's made the playoffs every year is the seventh worst in the NFL. That, there's no way in hell.
Steve, that means he's putting at least one, maybe two new staffs. Ahead of Bowles. Guy who came in, cleaned house, and now he's ahead of Bowles.
Yeah. Even better, Ira. He's got Bowles' staff as the third staff in the NFC South. Raheem and Dave Canales are ahead of him. And as I typed on JoeBucksFan.com, what the hell have Raheem Morris and Dave Canales ever done?
I will say this, Steve. This is the best roster that Bowles has had as a head coach. So, you know, if they screw up, barring an injury to Mayfield, that's on Bowles. It's on
sure,
Bowles.
But he's not the 26th.
No.
He does, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
15th, 16th, maybe?
It's beyond stupid. Aside from everything Lee mentioned, one of the primary jobs of a coach, maybe number three overall, is to develop players. And the Bucks have done that. These young, they've got a lot of young players contributing. And Solak, I've seen write about how the Bucks, you know, are playing the most drafted players of any team. So it makes no sense. Shame on the ESPN, but we could say that every single week.
Even with Lavonte David and Mike Evans, they have one of the younger rosters in this league.
Mm-hmm.
It's impressive.
I'm going to give you a ranking. Number one, that's Bill Curry Ford. Don't worry. Drive Curry. They've got 557 vehicles in inventory right now. I'm looking at the website, BillCurryFord.com. They've got transparent pricing. They've got the Sage discount. That's the Ira Kaufman discount. You bring it up, and you are going to get it, and you have to go through general manager Sean Sullivan, great Bucks fan, to get that Ira Kaufman discount. You can find him on the website, BillCurryFord.com. They want your vehicle. They're paying up to 120% of Kelly Blue Book value right now, and that's no purchase necessary. It's not some sort of trade swindle. They'll buy your car. They'll buy your truck. They want it, and they've got fantastic pre-owned inventory, and we, of course, we've said it before, their service department, biggest in Florida, 100 loaner vehicles, and that's free, not like a $90 loaner, which is a rental car. No, you get a free loaner, mobile service. They'll come to your home and do the service at your home. If not, they'll bring it back at no charge to Bill Curry Ford. They're incredible, family-owned, third generation since 1960, Bill Curry Ford.
Service department open on Sunday, Steve.
Sundays for express services, exactly. So get out there. Most people will probably be listening to this podcast on Sunday. Get out there, get your oil change, get burned out radiator fluid change.
Rotate your tires, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. Ira's actually wearing his Bill Curry Ford polo right now. He's a walking billboard for that place, BillCurryFord.com. And Ira, we'll talk about them later, but I sent somebody with a serious mold problem to Florida's Elite Restoration. And I talked to Josh Martin, the great owner over there. They're family owned as well, big company, but you get that family service. Josh said, no, have them call 24/7, our AI assistant records the call and everything they need. We listen to those calls. If it's off hours and they're not picking up, you know, if you call at 11:30 at night or something, or Sunday morning, but they respond quickly. And of course, he said, make sure they mention Ira and Joe Bucks Fan so they get that discount after the free inspection if they need the service. Florida's Elite Restoration.com, mold, fire, storm damage, flood, water damage. Terrible. Ira had a little water damage, but it magically healed itself. Which
dry as a bone was the quote.
Kind of like Baker Mayfield's going to magically heal himself, Ira. But I got a more philosophical question for the sage here first. Todd Bowles, he's on NFL Network. He's glowing about Benjamin Morrison being, quote, very sticky and how well he reads receivers at the top of his route, their routes. He said that that's a very unique skill in the NFL, and he's already got it, how well he reads them. Doesn't mean other guys can't cover, but I guess the adjustments that Bowles is seeing. And we know about the gushing about Egbuka. Bowles has said, you know, this guy's like a 10-year veteran out there as far as the way he handles
himself. And Parrish.
And today, Parrish, he was asked about Parrish, and this is what he says. Asked about his growth and development. He says, quote, Ira, it's hard to say he's grown because he's been good since the first day he's gotten here. You know, we correct him very little. And that's a scary thing, especially for me, Todd Bowles. We don't say his name much because he's always doing the right thing. He went on to talk about his preparation, his toughness, how ready he is, how he never needs to be told something twice, his competitive nature, how good he is on special teams. how many of those three rookies, with the way the Bucs are glossing them, how many of those, if just one is good, is that going to keep your prediction at 11? If two are as good as they say, or three, where does your 11-win prediction factor in how much these guys are hyping?
Lee, 11 is lofty company. I mean, it's not like I'm picking 8 and 9. I mean, 11 and 6, that's a damn good record, especially with Wirfs possibly missing some time. Possibly. I think all three of these guys, all three, are going to play significant roles on the Bucks. And Lee, you were there the other day, even suggesting the possibility of rotating your corners. I mean, nobody does that. Lee, people don't do that. Now, he said the same things about, in terms of intelligence, about Tyke Smith last year. And you know what? Tyke Smith put in a solid rookie year.
Yeah.
I don't think Bulls can wait to get Parrish and Morrison out on that field. And Igbuka's going to play because I don't think Godwin's going to be ready week one. This looks like another draft haul. I don't think Bowles would talk these guys up to the extent that he has if he didn't really believe it. I don't think he would.
Yeah, I'm sensing a whiff of he's blown these up a little bit, I think.
A little bit.
Parrish, even in rookie minicamp, he stood out.
You might as well give him the nickel jump.
Oh, I think he's going to get that. And not to deviate too much, but I'm still triggered that he would think of putting an all-pro safety at nickel. He actually said that. I'm like, oh, my God, what are you thinking, Todd? And Steve's quick to remind me, well, he did that before. Well, before, he wasn't an all-pro safety.
He was a pro bowler.
Well, he was a pro bowler. There's a difference between a pro bowler, which Jameis was, and an all-pro.
It's Parrish's job to lose, Steve. It's Parrish's job
I agree.
Lose.
I agree. It's
the slot corner.
I think Morrison will be okay. I'm not won over by him yet.
Well, I know your philosophy is when Dean goes down, Morrison comes in, and then Dean's in trouble.
Unless they put Parrish there, which they could.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Morrison's a bad player. He's still coming off hip surgery, and he's not making the plays Parrish is. And I haven't seen Parrish get roasted yet. I have seen Morrison get really roasted.
But it's Mike Evans.
It's Mike Evans. I get it. But still, a roast is a roast. Like Morrison, if he starts, he's not going to face an all-pro receiver at some point.
But he's bounced back, Morrison. He's bounced back from those things.
Again, I think he's done well. I don't think he's done as well as Parrish. Parrish just, I think he's a starter right now. Morrison, I'd hesitate. And oh, by the way, Jamel Dean's going to start unless he gets hurt because he's having a hell of a training camp. What's this guy over here predicted?
Ira, you were very clear. You don't like this thought of rotating the outside cornerbacks. I don't like it. Lee's okay with it.
If it works.
Yeah, I'm okay with it if it works.
I don't
too.
Think it's a big trend around the league.
I don't like it. Bowles doesn't do it often, and
no.
I see why you might want to do it, but I'll say this. Jamel Dean has never played more than 15 games in a season, and those weren't during 16-game seasons. So he's always missing a couple of games a year. Carlton Davis never played more than 14 games in his Bucs career. So we're confident these guys are probably going to miss some time. I don't know if I like the rotation from this, or maybe that makes the rotation more interesting. So Morrison, if he does get in week 11, which is probably, probably Deem's timeline for getting wiped out, he's more ready. I don't know. Well, what are your thoughts?
Now, Lee's not going to like it. Now, Lee's sitting on a chair, and I don't want Lee to fall off the chair. But, Lee, it's clear to me that Bowles does not share your lukewarm attitude towards takeaways. He doesn't.
I know.
He's thinking about it all the time. The number 7 is driving him crazy. I think it drives him more crazy than Mayfield's 16 interceptions. I think it does that. Boy, we faced all these passes. I think maybe one or two teams faced more passes than the Bucs, and we come up with 7 of them. That's driving him nuts, along with bad tackling. Lee.
Well,
bad tackling.
His concern about bad tackling, I share.
And that you do share.
And, oh, by the way, he said the best tackling game they had was probably their biggest win outside of Philadelphia. That was at Detroit. You see a pattern here? You tackle well, you play well, you win.
So my point, Steve, is simple. If Morrison can get his hands on some balls and Dean can't by midseason, I think there could be a change.
I was talking to Tyke Smith after practice, and I haven't transcribed the audio yet. But one of the things I do remember him saying was, I asked him, like, all these young guys, it's just this fresh blood. Is that helping the secondary? And he said, that's going to help keep our legs fresh. Pick that apart, it sure sounds like it might be some sort of a rotation.
Steve, well, what's it going to take for Bowles to play a more aggressive pass defense in terms of getting in people's faces?
Losses?
Well, what's it going to take? Is it have to do with his confidence in his corners? Is that what it is?
I don't think he's changing anything. I think he believes in his system. Yes, he tweaks it a little each week, every 2.5 years, he said. But he talked to us about getting these guys faster off the line in the pass rush, making them sort of play the run on the way to the pass a little bit more, like he told us on your podcast. Anybody can go back and listen. He said, look, they're thrown against us 70% of the time, and we got to be more pass first.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's going to do much different. He believes in his deal. John Gruden, who's been talking a lot about the Bucs, has really gone out of his way to say that, look, the Bulls defense still works. You still need the players, but it works. It's evolved. He likes it versus other defenses that he thinks are more predictable. So I don't think anything's going to change, but you said something very interesting before. You said Bulls is going to know that Morrison can get his picks, and if Dean doesn't, you know, there's going to be a change. Well, how's he going to know that Morrison can get picks? When's he going to get these picks?
Preseason?
So you think he's going to...
I think he's going to play a lot.
He's going to play a lot. I think so, too. You think he needs picks to get Bulls confidence in preseason?
Bulls wants picks, Lee. Bulls wants picks.
Overplay?
He's tired of preaching, and it doesn't happen. He's tired of it.
Are you suggesting he's prioritizing picks over play?
No,
I hope not.
No, because...
That's why I run into problems.
Well, if Morrison's getting roasted and then, you know, there's a tip ball and he happens to get his hands on it, that's not going to help Morrison.
What if he's getting roasted and, oh, by the way, one play he has good coverage, he gets a pick? Please don't tell me Bowles' way to throw away fundamentals.
No, but I also don't share your opinion that that Dean's... well, you never said he's an elite corner.
No, he's not a capable corner.
You ranked him 36th in the NFL, Ira.
Remember that.
Yeah, I cornered you.
Out of like 64 or something?
Yeah.
Maybe 26.
All I know is when Dean doesn't play, last year he missed 5 games. The Bucs were 1-4. I don't think that's a coincidence.
All right. So, Ira, you're not changing your prediction based on this rookie play. You're expecting a good rookie class.
Well, I haven't seen the rookies in a game situation, right. So I can't go too crazy.
A little early. Little early for the save.
This is the best roster Bowles has had to deal with as a head coach. I don't think there's any question.
I don't think so. You're right.
All right. I'm going to make a statement here. Charlie Heck, Ira, he's a backup. He looks like a backup.
He is a backup.
I'm saying we don't know what he was going to look like in training camp till the pads came on. Well, the pads have come on. He looks like a backup tackle who is probably going to make some mistakes. I don't think he's a train wreck where they can't cover for him, but he's a backup, and
would you call him a major drop-off from Schooley?
Well, Schooley was decent at left tackle, and he got better at right tackle. No one will ever forget that horror show. You know, I mean, Black Sabbath wrote songs about what happened up in Detroit when Hudson just oh, my gosh, it was horrible.
That guy's a great player. He is.
Great player, but my gosh. Yeah. Name another game where he went nuts like that. But he got better. Light was foolish. Pennywise and pound foolish. Saving $500,000 for a really good backup left tackle or right swing tackle. And now maybe Schooley thinks he has a chance to start up in Minnesota. Okay, fine. But I think I was Pennywise and pound foolish. Should have kept Schooley. I think I know where Steve's going, but I'm going to ask you this, Ira. The Bucs today had... they gave Graham Barton a spin at left tackle.
Bowles was asked about that.
I know. Was that an accident, or do you think it's CYA in case Heck gets lit up?
It's very interesting.
It's not an accident, that's for sure.
I would be very hesitant to move Barton out of center.
Sure.
Very hesitant.
But temporarily, right?
Even temporarily.
I'll give you a scenario.
Like the Chiefs moved Joe Thuney, who was an all-pro left guard, to left tackle because the guy was a swinging door, and Thuney was just okay, barely okay,
but better than
as
the other
left
guy.
Tackle.
But better than the other guy.
So, you know, it's not easy for an interior guy to go to the outside. That's true.
I've got some news on Tristan Wirfs that I want to share, but
I saw him after the practice. He's all smiles. That guy's always in a great mood.
He's a happy
guy. When he saw me.
He should be.
Hey, Sage.
$30 million a year, roughly, I think. It's a lot of smiles. So, Heck, I'm not sure. But I don't think it's a coincidence, just like Lee said.
What have you been seeing out of Heck for you to make a statement like that?
He doesn't shine much in the one-on-one drills. He looks strong, but he doesn't have the quick feet. And, you know, we know his history. But I think he can be okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he looks like a backup. He doesn't, because he very well could have been like, we could have looked at him and be like, hey, this guy looks like a starter, you know? Like, he looks like an okay starting left tackle.
You
in the
agree
NFL.
With me that he'll probably be more effective in
run
blocking than
I
pass blocking?
I agree with that.
I would think so, Lee.
Just go look at his, it's on YouTube. Go look at his film with the 49ers.
Wait, what's with Lee's guy, Bucky Irving, who never says anything, and And then he talks himself up with the NFL Network.
Well, that's just it, NFL Network. We're not the NFL Network.
Yeah, Bucky's having fun.
Top five, I'm thinking.
Was that in reference to Oregon, though?
Some fans said that. I didn't think so. Only because when he was asked by Steve Smith referenced Jonathan Stewart, who he played with, who played for Oregon. And
Jonathan Stewart, he was a pretty good running back.
Yeah.
But it's NFL Network, the context of it, I didn't get that. And you could argue it both ways. I didn't think so. I didn't take it that way. And especially since they're there to talk about the NFL. They're not there to talk about Oregon Ducks history.
Lee, top five, that might be pushing it a little. I could put him in the top 10. I don't know about top five.
That's a little tough.
Yeah. You know, I'm not putting him ahead of Jamar Gibbs.
No, I'm not.
I'm not going to do that.
Yet.
Anyway, Ira, look, Wirfs, he's off the crutches. As of today,
was not
walking around with crutches at all.
I don't even think I saw a brace on his knee or anything.
And he clearly was walking with them previously. I think early in training camp, you could tell he needed them. Later in training camp, it was like, well, they told me I have to. And he's like using one crutch, holding his kid after practice with the other hand. He's sort of like, you know, looking like a guy who doesn't want to be using it, but was. Today's off crutches, so it's a good thing.
You think it would matter whether they're on artificial turf like the first two games?
It should.
And you want them to be on grass for week three?
It should matter.
Great point.
But here's the thing. So what I learned is that when you go on the PUP list, right, obviously you don't play the first four games. That's the rules. But if you are actually on that PUP list, you cannot participate in walkthroughs. You can't do a handful of things that a guy not on the PUP list and injured can do. So if you really want a guy ready for week five at his very, very best mentally and physically, you probably don't want him on the PUP list. And so I don't think he's going to go on the PUP list. And I think there's a good chance that he could get back sooner, which the Bucks are hoping. But the PUP list probably doesn't make sense because it would really limit him. And it's also, you know, if you tell a player who's borderline, well, we're putting you on the PUP list, you got no shot for week four now. What does that do? It hurts the guy's confidence, his attitude. It's a kick in the groin.
I wouldn't mind seeing him week three against the Jets, Lee. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I just want to see him on the field when he's ready to go.
When he's good and ready?
Yeah. You pick the week. I don't care.
I want to see Barton play left tackle. That'll be fun.
Now, Steve almost pulled the Dave Portnoy here. Almost. You said, that's the rules? You should have done a Dave Portnoy. Everybody knows the rules. Everybody knows the rules.
So, guys, speaking of Wirfs, Jason Light did a local podcast called Loose Cannons. And he talked about Wirfs and versus Chris Godwin, and he said that you're not going to see Wirfs in training camp, but he did say that you're much more likely to see Chris Godwin working on a side field before training camp is over with a trainer. So it sort of tells you that Godwin is ahead. That was a nice little bright light that we're more likely to see on August 16th, Chris Godwin running around the field than Tristan Wirfs.
Doesn't mean you're going to see Godwin in a preseason game.
Doesn't mean anything. I'm sure they're all out for the preseason, but that was some enlightening news.
I'm a little surprised. I thought Godwin was behind. Because we don't see him, right? Out of sight, out of mind.
No, he's here, but he's never working on the practice field, side field. Yeah, he mingles with the fans. He's out there. Steve's got several.
I am far from convinced that Wirfs is going to miss four games. I don't think he will miss four games.
I don't think so, but, you know, prove it.
I'm going to say three.
Back for the Eagles?
Even though the Bucks refuse to rush him, and they shouldn't, but you know what? I think if they go 0-2, we'll see Wirfs in week three.
God forbid
that happens.
So both you guys are riding off Atlanta and Houston?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Not Ira, no.
Oh, you mean for Wirfs or his wins?
No, Wirfs.
Oh, Wirfs? No, I'm not writing that off. Okay. I'm not writing that off.
Steve?
Wirfs?
Yeah.
First 2 weeks, yeah. Okay. Partially because of turf, partially because it's getting late. And look, the Bucks really think they're damn good, and they should.
And they should.
Darrelle Revis, when he was here in 2013, the one thing that really stuck out to me from being in the locker room for a couple years before that regularly, and Revis comes in, and Revis was always talking about February, that his whole focus was February. And nobody else in the Bucks locker room had a focus on February. And that really stuck with me, how he would reference that.
They were in the middle of a 12-year playoff drought.
And he would talk on the side after he talked to the group. And he was very accessible. And, you know, that always rung true with me. And I think of Wirfs now, like, the guy needs to be full throttle late in the season, not now.
I can see it. This team's got big ambitions, and they should, Lee. And they should.
As they should. Ira, can I bring up something that has me fully triggered?
Of course.
Bowles was talking the other day, and he was referring to Jose Ramirez. And he said about Jose Ramirez, well, we know he can rush the passer. To which my...
I don't know that.
Well, my response is, how do you know? No, you don't know. If you knew he could rush the passer, the SOB would be on the freaking field. Give me a break. You paid all this money to Hassan Reddick. You drafted David Walker. You drafted Chris Braswell. You were so desperate for an edge rush, you brought Shaq Barrett out of mothballs. If you knew that guy was rushing a passer, that's grotesque irresponsibility.
If I know Jose Ramirez can rush the passer, he's on the field 40 snaps.
Hell yeah.
So he's here for his third season now, Ramirez.
Oh, this gets better. Yeah, Steve will take it. This gets better, Ivan.
The fans know him well as a guy who's racked up a bunch of sacks in the preseason. I think he had a 3-sack game last year in the preseason. And, of course, Tristan Wirfs has said publicly, and the Bucs officials have said publicly, he tears up the practice squad, gives Wirfs fits. Nice guy, Ramirez, local guy. Interesting story. But Bowles put those comments about him being able to rush the passer in the context was, we need him to be better against the run, and he needs to know the scheme a little better.
Face
so
palm.
Third-year guy doesn't understand the scheme, yet Bowles says he can rush the passer. Does it take that much to know how to get out there in a situational pass rush situation? It was weird, Iron.
I just want to beat my head against the wall.
This league is littered with good pass rushers who were not good against the run, but played a ton and made a lot of money in this league.
Of course.
So I haven't seen Jose Ramirez as a solid, dynamic pass rusher, and neither have Buck fans when it counts. Not in games that count.
So that's why when Bowles said, we know we can rush the passer, I don't believe they do, because otherwise they'd put the guy on the field.
And Steve, just to throw a little salt into the souffle, how many days am I going to hear about Chris Braswell's doing this and Chris Braswell's doing that? Take it easy with this Braswell guy.
Well, you know what? Look, Ira, it's August now. He is in better shape.
He knows the scheme.
He looks better. The other day, I'm
like, you're laughing at that. The scheme.
He's getting better with the playbook. He's admitted that he had some challenges with it. Why Todd Bowles' playbook is so difficult for rookie edge rushers, I have no idea. Remember, we were screaming, get him on the field as a rookie. Wasn't ready yet. Bowles kept saying, wasn't ready. You know, they waited, and then he finally got the starting nod. So you look at Diaby's history, Braswell lost in the clouds with the playbook. There's no excuse for Joe Tryon-Shayinka, so we won't even go there. And then we hear from Ramirez, that's three guys, allegedly not ready when maybe they should be. I don't know.
Maybe Logan Hall's in that category. Maybe he wasn't ready.
Maybe he needed more time. It makes me wonder, in a lot of ways, they were so crazy about David Walker. David Walker, that poor guy who got blew his knee out, the fourth round pick that they had high hopes for. Would you have really understood the playbook? I'm wondering now. I don't know. But Braswell looks better, Ira. I'm all in on
Braswell. You're all
in
on Braswell?
I'm all in on Braswell.
But Lee, I'm thinking...
Shock the world.
I'm thinking some of this chatter about Braswell is just because he's a second-round pick. Oh, if he wasn't a second-round pick, we wouldn't be hearing this stuff.
Well, that, and he had such an embarrassingly lack of production, even for a rookie.
But you said pass rushers as rookies don't usually make an impact.
That is very true. However, 1.5 sacks... Ira, that's 1.5 sacks more than you and I have. I mean, what, I write this all the time.
And you said he wasn't active in the playoff game, right? Was he active?
I am the very first person to say, and I always write it because it's correct, that rookie edge rushers, generally, unless you're a Bosa, have little impact. But, I mean, I could rattle off all kinds of edge rushers the Bucs drafted that were garbage, and they had 5 or 6 sacks as rookies. Noah Spence. Shoyanka had 4 sacks, I think.
Yeah.
Who was that immortal player that Ian Beckles went bananas
over? Daquan Bowers.
Not Daquan Bowers.
Gaines Adams.
Gaines Adams had 4 or 5. 1.5 sacks for a team that is begging for an edge rusher? That's bad.
Well,
that's
Steve bad. Says he's a new man this year. Braswell's a new man.
Whatever that means, I'm all
I've never
Braswell.
Heard you jump on the Braswell bandwagon, Steve.
I think Braswell will turn out to be an excellent number 4 pass rusher on this team.
Part of the reason the Bucs are beating the drum for Braswell, they're trying to control the message. Because otherwise the message is, he sucks, he's a bust. So they're trying to control the message. They're trying to get ahead of the message.
You think he'll get as many snaps as Nelson?
No, but don't think so. But I think he'll get a lot of snaps like he did last year. We've talked about it before. He played a lot. They cut his playing time late. They were reaching for miracles with Shaq Barrett and other moves. So strange, but he looks better. We'll take that, Ira. Sage, this Baker Mayfield injury, the hand injury that he's got, typical injury, follow through, hits somebody's equipment, whether that be helmet.
Sometimes those are significant injuries.
Yeah, Josh Freeman broke a thumb. I forget which season that was.
And it's your throwing hand.
He played through it, throwing hand, sore. I heard a rumor that it may have happened last Sunday and just the soreness didn't go away like they thought. And so they're...
I think about giving him the whole week off next week. I don't see a big rush to get Mayfield more snaps. Let him heal.
The backups could sure use snaps.
And the backups could. I'm not concerned about it, but I will say, Lee, depending on the the exact angles of what happened, they could be significant injuries. Oh, yeah. I don't think Mayfield is, but I've seen significant injuries on the follow-through hitting the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
There are niggling injuries that are piling up, but I still think, overall, the Bucs are in pretty good shape health-wise.
So far.
So now here's a question for you, Ira. And BillCurryFord.com, that's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And Lee and I were there the other day. It's pretty cool seeing all the photos of the family there. You really get that family feel at Bill Curry
Ford. And it makes a difference, Steve. It makes a big difference.
I like
difference.
That. Yeah. It's accountability, right? It's as if the Glazers walked around training camp, fans could be accountable.
It's like Joe Buck's fans a family affair. Lee, we're all family over here. You're my second cousin, Isbeth.
You're the crazy Uncle Ira. All right, go ahead, Ira. Forget what I was going to say. Go ahead, Ira.
Lee, I'm going to throw this out. Grist for the mill, I would call it. If this guy Dennis, who you've been saying for 2 years, when am I going to see this guy? If he's the real deal, not that he's Levante David, but if he's a major upgrade on KJ Britt, if he is, especially in coverage, you think that could go a long way to fixing their problems in the middle of the field?
Yes, very much.
Just
so.
That one guy. Dennis.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's the linchpin for a top five defense, but he's going to help. Hell yeah, he's going to help.
You like when you see him out there? You like him?
Yeah, but the problem is I rarely see him.
Steve, could he make that big a difference in the middle of the field?
I'm encouraged by the fact that the Bucs think he's super healthy, but to the degree that apparently he's going to be wearing the green dot and calling the plays, and they're handing that job to him. So obviously Levante David can take it over in his sleep if necessary. But that's a lot of confidence, not just in the player, but I look at it as confidence in the guy's health.
They're obviously looking at life after Levante, which they should.
They have to, yeah.
Which they should. You know, and Deion Jones isn't 25 anymore, so he's not the long-term future. They're looking to groom somebody, Lee. Mm-hmm. And they got their eyes on this Dennis guy. And Light drafted him for a reason. And Bowles has been nothing but effusive about this guy, about when he plays.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking maybe they could get a top 12 defense out of this defense. Well, not top three, but top 12.
When Dennis plays, he plays well. The problem is he doesn't play much. I mean, and people say, well, you know, he had this soldier shirt. Well, he was losing time as a rookie with hamstring problems. So, I mean, 17 games in 2 years is a lot of game. And that's why I hold my breath that they're banking on this guy to play, shoot, forget 10 games. It sounds like they're expecting him to play 15 games. And for a guy that's missed half his games in 2 years, that's a hell of a gamble.
All right. Speed round here. You know, no elaboration permitted. Lee, who's more important to have a good, relatively healthy season this year? Tyke Smith at safety or Servassier Dennis at inside linebacker?
Tyke Smith.
Ira?
Servassier Dennis.
All right. So there we go.
I got a statement. Steve, are you ready for a statement?
It's your podcast. Of course I'm ready. Even if I'm not ready.
I maintain that the most critical player on the defensive side for the Bucs this fall is Hassan Reddick. Hassan Reddick doesn't get the job done, I think they're in trouble.
I wouldn't say they're in trouble, but if he gets the job done, they could be dominant.
Would you say Winfield over Reddick, or you're okay with Reddick?
As far as impact?
The most critical guy on that side of the ball.
Well, you know how much I love sacks.
Winfield's return to all-pro status or whatever.
As Lee has said before, he has an erection for sacks.
Yeah, I have an erection for sacks.
I think Reddick's the key figure, Steve.
All right, who's your key figure, Lee?
I do too, because a good pass rush helps out a secondary. I don't care.
Huge help.
Yeah, I don't care who's back there. It helps him out. So if Winfield, unfortunately, get hurt, but Reddick gets 12, 13 sacks, I think they'll be okay.
You throw Izzy in there and you get by or whatever.
I think so. Yeah. I think they get okay.
I'm going a different direction.
If you say Logan Hall, I'm walking off the set. If you say Logan Hall.
I never knew we had a set, but I guess we do.
No, all right, go ahead, Stevie.
No donuts on the set today. No coconut donuts. Have you given up the coconut donuts, or should I bring you some next time I see you?
I'd love a few next time, Steve.
All right. Oh, okay. Right. Sounds good. Well.
Right. You're going in another direction. What direction are you going, Steve?
If I had to pick... most important guy to come through with a big year. Is that kind of the same way you guys
on the Buck defense? On the Buck
defense. He's giving me the nod.
McCollum?
You're dying over there. Are you dying? The big year
I'm trying to figure
for
out
the
what,
Bucks to go to the next level.
Kancey?
Kancey. I think if the Bucks get Kalijah Kancey in a breakout third year, 17-game season, not a 12-game season.
Borderline Pro Bowler.
Pro Bowl type season from Kancey. Let him just do what he does for a full season and be fired from day one. I'll take that over Reddick's 12 sacks. I'll be fine with Reddick being just okay. I think they can get more out of Kancey busting up the run, and I think Kancey being crazy will elevate Vita Vea's game. He's not going to want to be shown up.
He's a disruptor, Lee. He's a disruptor, Kancey. He's a disruptor.
Not only do I love Kancey, I'm a proud defender of Kancey, and the PFF frauds, they don't know what the hell
I still can't believe that stuff from PFF.
Which is worse, the PFF frauds claiming Kancey's playing for a job, or Ben Solak saying Bowles is the number 26 coaching staff?
The Kancey thing. To suggest that the Bucks are looking to get looking to shed Kalijah Kancey, that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. He's going to be a Buck for a long time.
I agree.
And he's going to sign a couple of extensions along the way.
If he can stay healthy. If he plays another 12-game season, they're not going to drop some big contract on him. If he only plays 12 games a year,
they'll keep him. But
They'll think closely about that. That's just me. I think he has the potential to be a real game changer. I just think as much as I like Reddick, and as much as I'm happy he's here, I just think that to think this guy at 31 years old is going to, you know, just be wreaking terror for a whole season feels hard to believe.
I just think a very good year for Reddick could lift Diaby's game.
Sure.
And they have an impact on each other.
Yes.
So that's the way. Diaby could have a big year if people are paying a lot of attention to Reddick.
A domino effect.
But if Reddick's not getting the job done, now you block Diaby.
Talking about Reddick being a bust. I'm just saying if he goes out and has 8 sacks, I'm okay with it.
You know, eight's a little low for me.
It would represent a big upgrade.
Yeah.
I'm looking more like 11 or 12. I'm not looking at 19.
But. Well, if I got to be choosy, hell yeah, I'll take a dozen. A baker's dozen. 13, what the heck?
Ira's got donuts on the brain again. In all seriousness, Ira, folks have got to have Florida's Elite Restoration in their plan. You got to be ready because you can't just like not know who to call. Like this person I referred, they dilly-dallied and their problems growing. You got to know who to call when you have a disaster. It's your biggest asset.
We know
home.
People who've used them, Steve. It's we're not making up stories.
Sean Sullivan, for example.
Yeah. Several people.
Twice, I think. Yeah.
Sean Sullivan, GM of Bill Curry Ford.
He's can't say enough,
twice.
Right?
Yeah. He's another walking billboard for
would
Florida.
You use him, would you use him the second time if you weren't happy with him the first time?
There you go.
Of course not.
Have you ever gotten a bad haircut and gone back, Ira?
Depends what she looks like.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. That was the perfect answer by the sage. So, Ira, you're going to be on, I'm sure, with the SiriusXM NFL Radio Boys on Thursday.
Now, how am I going to top my last performance over there, Steve?
I'm not sure. It was really special.
I got to come up with some more SAP stories or something. I got plenty.
So Tez Johnson has missed a couple of practices now with some sort of mysterious injury. They don't have to report anything. Okay. So it's probably a tweak of a calf, a hamstring, groin, who knows. So if he is unable to be 100% through the rest of this training camp and he's nursing something or whatever, if he doesn't perform between now and August 20th, the last preseason game, do you think they stick with him?
No.
As much hype as he's gotten and as excited as they may be about drafting him, if he can't do much in the next few weeks... Or if they know he's not himself and he can't.
I want to see him in preseason, Lee. I want to see him.
Well, here's the sad thing about this.
And he is a seventh round pick.
Yeah. Here's the sad thing from his perspective. I think the Bucks have one roster spot. It's either Trey Palmer or Tez Johnson. Trey Palmer is also dinged up. This would have been a great opportunity for Tez Johnson to pull away from Palmer, and it's gone. Like Ian Beckel said, if you're a bubble guy, every play in training camp is important. And every play you miss, that's an opportunity to make an impression. So it's kind of sad for his part that, in my eyes, the same position he's fighting for, both those guys are.
I certainly had him ticketed for punt returns, Steve.
Yeah, me too. But I'm just asking you as the sage. It's August 2nd.
If I don't think I can rely on the guy to be healthy,
well, that's it. Then you're back to Seracier Dennis and those guys again.
Now, if Palmer does play in the preseason. Maybe they give Palmer another chance like they're giving Braswell another chance. You know, maybe they think he'll step up. Well, but as Lee says, He doesn't have any rapport with Mayfield. He doesn't have it.
Well, from what I heard, and you're talking about deep passes.
Yeah.
From what I heard, it's not so much doesn't have a rapport with Mayfield. He struggles with the route tree on long pass.
Can't you fix that? Can't you fix
it? You would think, but apparently that hasn't been fixed.
I certainly don't like him as a punt returner. I do not like Palmer as a punt returner.
Well, that's what makes it interesting because, okay, Tez Johnson, just like Palmer, was a deep threat in college, but he had that bad 40 time at the combine, which is why he dropped, and he's got the short space quickness and the elusiveness, but I'm not sure he's really a deep threat. He doesn't have that kind of speed, and now if he's got a little tweak that maybe he's making him 90%, we're surely not going to see it, and he's so slight of a guy.
It's a crowded wide receiver room, Lee. It's crowded.
Yeah, the only problem is, as good as it is, they don't have a deep threat. Maybe Egbuka could be a deep threat. I don't know. But.
Well, I think I look at Mike Evans as an elite deep threat, so that's how I look
He's
at
a good
him.
Go route guy. Or no, better than good. He's excellent at go route guy. Yeah.
Didn't Bowles tell us on the podcast when I was talking about our philosophy, Lee, and you're with me on this, throw deep 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, Mike Evans.
And didn't Bowles make a distinction out? He thought they did go deep down the middle a lot, but they didn't do the sideline passes?
He said
Why not?
They didn't throw enough for the
Why not?
He said the traditional go route, the Mike Evans go route, that kind of thing, they didn't do that. He said it doesn't mean it's not in the
– Is that because he was double-teamed?
That's what Bowles threw out there, part of it. I mean, Bowles tried to make it clear to you that it's in the game plan every week, and he said it's in the game plan for every team, but it's got to be there, and obviously your quarterback's got to – make that decision, and if you don't do it on first...
I didn't think they went deep and often enough last year, Lee.
I wrote it, I got hell for it, and I stick by my words. It was a dink-and-dunk offense. I say that with a degree of reverence, because it worked.
That's because White and Irving make guys miss with those little flare passes. They're not 3-yard passes, they're 12-yard passes.
Those guys were excellent at the screen game.
Yeah, this Tez Johnson thing is very interesting to me, because I'm sure if he's not 100%, they'd love to stash him on the practice squad. You know,
that's what I'm thinking.
But you got to have no other team want you to do that.
Yeah.
Because you
got to
clear waivers, and that could be very tricky, although he was a 7th-round pick. So,
you think Bowles is serious about tweaking the philosophy and playing starters more in the preseason this year? He kind of threw that out there. I'm not sure that's going to hold.
Well, two things. I'm going to answer that because that's an important question as we head toward the close of the Ira Kaufman podcast. That question is not going away, Ira. On the Rock Riley Show, Rock's got a WDAE show on Saturdays, comes on before ours, different times, but whenever we're on, Rock's on before it, and he interviewed Tez Johnson, and Tez Johnson told him that Chris Godwin has been really telling him, hey, look, you got a lot of speed, but you're not using it to your maximum on the field. You got to focus on essentially playing to your speed level at all times. You got to work on that. And that made me wonder, maybe his shiftiness is there, but not the speed.
So he's raw, Steve.
And
he's
so
raw.
He's raw, exactly.
He's raw.
So the question is, are they going to keep, I don't see him covering kicks and punts and tackling anybody at 154 pounds, although Scotty Miller did a little bit of that, but Scotty Miller looked like a big guy next to Tez Johnson. I don't know. But to answer your question, the Bucs had this weird thing this year of they play the Bills in the third preseason game. But they play the Bills in the regular season. And Bowles said something this week saying, like, he referenced that. And, they don't.
Well,
like
who the hell plays in the third preseason game? The kids.
No, the third preseason game since the NFL has changed the format, it has been the dress rehearsal game for the starters. So Bowles implied that he might move that back to Pittsburgh in week 2 of the preseason. And week 3, he doesn't want to show much to the Bills who they're going to play later. He doesn't want, you know how paranoid they are.
I thought week 3 nobody plays, Lee. Traditionally.
Well, traditionally it was, 4 games.
Yeah, no, week 3 is when they played. Week 4 when nobody played. And now week 3 they've sort of adopted as that's your dress rehearsal games in 2 weeks.
Well, I remember Cutter threw out every 2-bit player that had a pair of shoulder pads.
Don't expect Baker Mayfield to play extensively in the preseason. I don't.
How many series?
Maybe 2 series in the first game. 2
5
series.
5 total.
5 total? That's not bad.
That's something. 5
Yeah, 5 total.
Yeah, that's a tough over-under.
That 5 sounds good.
I think Lee's nailed it there. Yeah, 5 series.
Total in 3 games.
You don't have anything to prove.
Nothing to prove. Evans doesn't. All down the line. Offensive line doesn't. White doesn't. Bucky doesn't. No.
You know what I think about Steve sometimes? And it's just not fair to Godwin. I can't believe how great he was last year. He was fantastically, and His yards after catch, which I don't think's ever been one of his fortes. It's certainly not Mike Evans' forte. And
he's
got, and Godwin
better.
Wasn't great at it. Last year, he was sensational. He, in my mind, he was the best receiver in football.
He was close, if not the
I mean, what a bad break for a Godwin.
FYI, I'm going to save you.
What a bad break for a Godwin.
Evans at one time was terrible. Yeah, he's gotten a lot better. He's gotten a lot better. But yeah, at one point, wherever he caught the ball, that was it.
You know, I think Egbuka's going to be good at yards after catch. I think
guy,
he will.
I got to take a cold shower over this guy.
If you can get him the ball in stride, in timing, I think he could do some things.
I overuse this word, so forgive me. But when's the last time you've seen a rookie receiver look this smooth? He's just smooth.
You've loved him from day one. You loved him before the Bucs drafted him.
Yeah,
I got to give you credit.
But to be fair,
and you watched him a lot last year.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State was always on. It was almost like you were, you know, in prison, like you were forced to watch him. They were always on that dumb that dumb noon kickoff, the Big Ten.
I thought Lee was crazy the first time he said, "Hey, I think they could take a wide receiver in the first round." I thought Lee was nuts.
Well, I didn't think they would, but I'm glad they did.
Even when Bowles hinted at it at the combine, I said that they're not going to do that.
Oh yeah, I thought he was crazy.
They're not going to do that.
I think what's exciting to me is week one, the double teams for Mike Evans are going to come. It's not, they're not going away.
Raheem knows Mike Evans and what he can do.
And you just know that the Bucs are drooling to test and see if Egbuka can win on the go route and take that one-on-one coverage.
And we don't expect Godwin
and see
for week
happens.
One, yeah. Steve.
But Egbuka's not always thought of as a deep threat, but the Bucs say he can do it all. He thinks he can. And we're going to find out. I think they're going to throw that pass you want at least twice to Egbuka.
Lee, I'm not willing to go to Isbit's land on this in
must
terms
win.
Of in terms of a must.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But, Lee, at the same time, it's a big freaking game.
It's a big game, but I can't go must win because to me, a must win, if you lose that game, your season's
Steve
done.
Steve pushes that envelope. He pushes it.
I'm going to run a poll and see what the fans say.
It's a big game, Steve.
It's a huge game.
If the Bucks lose, should they tank for the first pick?
No.
Okay.
Maybe I should call it a must-not-lose game.
And it would give them a little cushion going into Houston, which is going to be a tough game.
It's a big game. There's no way around it.
Huge game. They're all big games.
Steve says you don't want to start 0-2. And he's right. You don't want to start 0-2.
They can't lose to Atlanta. Can't
this
lose.
Fan base, if they go 0-2, oh, my gosh. They're going to be out for blood for
Bowles. And yeah, the Bowles skeptics will have a new voice.
Well, they got to win.
Have a new voice.
A new voice. All right. Sage.
I think I'm going for Mexican tonight, Steve.
Mexican?
A little Mexican.
What, when you get Mexican, what do you usually get?
I get flautas. And if they don't have flautas, I get fajitas. And my wife gets chili relenos. And the most important thing, you start with a margarita. Start with a margarita, Steve.
That first dish you talked about, that's not flounder, is it?
No, it's a narrow burrito or something.
Okay. Enchilada?
But it's all about the margarita, though. Right?
Your Spanish pronunciation is as good as your French pronunciation.
I took Spanish.
Ira, here's my level of Spanish, and I'm bringing this up because it's a hilarious story.
Hola, amigo. That's it, right?
Well, no, there's a, what's the Taco Bell food? Gordita.
Oh, gordita, yeah.
You know what gordita is? Gordita is fat in English.
That's a good way to end this podcast.
I'm out of here.